Welcome to the world of reverse speech. My name is David John Oates, and I'm your host for the weekly reverse speech show, broadcast to you live from Adelaide, South Australia. In this show, we explore the amazing phenomenon of reverse speech. We bring to you many guests who will share their expertise in this field, and we will explore the unconscious mind, asking the questions, what is it, and what does it do? We'll also take your calls live on the air. So sit back now, relax, and enjoy the show. And good evening, everyone in America who's listening to me, and also to all of those around the world who are also listening to the weekly reverse speech show, where we bring you all the latest news and information about reverse speech and its ongoing presence in the world around us. I have brought you many guests over the last few months, various reverse speech analysts and practitioners who are all working in the field in their own unique way, and we're going to continue bringing you more guests of other analysts and practitioners who are all working in the field, doing their own thing very, very well too, I might add. So we appreciate all of their efforts and all the efforts involved by everyone to get the word out there. All right, what I thought I might do today, we've talked a fair bit about the hobbyist home study course on this show, and I play you the advert for getting the home study course. I thought I might play you one of the lessons in the show today, something completely different. I always like to come out of left field with something different. So for the next 45 minutes, I'm going to be playing you lesson 6 in the home study course. So I hope you enjoy it. It's a lesson about the history of reverse speech. Here we go. Welcome now to Lesson 3 of this home study course. In this lesson, we are going to cover the history of reverse speech in music, and then look at some reversals on children. We saw in Lesson 1 that reverse speech is another human sense. It is assumed, therefore, that it has always existed in the sounds of speech. As language evolved, it evolved to include both forwards as well as reverse speech. This process of discovery, however, was a gradual one. The initial honour has to go to Thomas Edison, who in 1887 manufactured the first working sound recorder. Even though he was nearly deaf, he envisaged the manipulation of recorded sound by playing them either at different rates or in reverse. And he was the first man to observe that when music is played backwards, the song is still melodious in many ways. In one of his voice experiments, he and his assistants would shout "Mad Dog" into the machine and then would run it backwards to hear the phrase "God damn." Well-known occultist Aleister Crowley was the next person documented to experiment with backwards recordings. In 1913, in his book Magic, he instructed his followers, among other techniques, to listen to phonograph records backwards as a way to attain magical powers. The first recording to deliberately use music played backwards was the song "They're Coming to Take Me Away, Ha Ha" by Napoleon XIV, released in 1961. The flip side of the record was exactly the same song played backwards. Here's a small section of the forward song.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I told her, sir? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. Damn, they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their green-white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha!
and that was just a short clip of that song. Now here is the flip side of the record, which is the same song played backwards. The next significant event to occur in the history of reverse beats is the accidental invention of a recording technique known as backward masking. Very simply, backward masking is the practice of intentionally placing backward messages on records at the recording studio. It was first used in the song Rain by the Beatles, which was released in 1966. The story goes that John Lennon accidentally played the end of the song backwards late one night and liked the effect, so he kept it. Here is the ending of the song Rain. Notice the gibberish at the very end. I'll now play that clip backwards, and you can hear how the backwards lyrics now sound like they are forwards. Here is John Lennon talking about the invention of backward masking in the song Rain.
The fade is me singing backwards and the guitar's going backwards.
Here it now, it's nearer, nearer.
I can think it. So, yeah, that was the start. That was the gift of God, that one. Of Jar. Because, you know, he's the god of marijuana now, right? But Jar gave me that one.
Then in the late 1960s, an international controversy erupted when several secret clues were found on some Beatles albums that hinted that Paul McCartney had died. Fans and DJs alike fueled these rumours, which stated that Paul McCartney had died in 1966 in a car accident and had been replaced by a lookalike. Some of these secret clues consisted of backward messages deliberately placed on the albums. One such backward message can be found at the end of the song, I'm So Tired. Listen to the end of the song played forwards. Notice the gibberish at the very end. There is that backwards track isolated. Well, this is played backwards. It allegedly says, Paul is a dead man. Miss him, miss him, miss him. If you can hear this. Another track that caused quite some controversy and freaked out scared teenagers around the world turning their turnstiles backwards came from Revolution No. 9 on the White Album. The phrase number 9 is repeated constantly throughout the track. Here it is, played forwards.
Number 9, 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 number 9. Number 9, number 9, number 9, number 9.
When that track is played backwards, the phrase, Turn Me On a Dead Man, can be heard. Also, right at the end of Strawberry Fields, a faint message can be heard that says, "Forwards, I buried Paul." Here it is. Here's that message isolated. Listen carefully. Paul McCartney later admitted in 2004 that the whole Paul is Dead controversy was deliberately planned by the Beatles on the instructions of the manager, Brian Epstein, as a publicity gimmick to sell records. It worked brilliantly as teenagers around the world began to buy Beatles records and play them backwards to find these hidden backward messages. However, there was another side to this little gimmick that no one could have expected. As well as finding the messages the Beatles had deliberately placed on their albums using the technique of backward masking, teenagers found other messages that weren't supposed to be there. Take, for example, the song Help. Here's a small clip played forwards. A speech reversal occurs on this song that says, "Now he uses marijuana." Take note, this is different from backward masking, which is where a message is intentionally inserted into the song. Help contains an example of reverse speech, although in this case not in the spoken word, but in the sung word. Speech reversal can occur in all forms of speech, sung or spoken. And so this reversal is giving us an insight into the mind of the Beatles. A little digging into some of the song's background gives us an excellent insight into what the reversal could mean. Rock and roll historians note that this was the first song the Beatles recorded while high on marijuana. The story goes that they went into a side room, smoked a joint, and then came back out to record the song. Could this be what the reversal means? Here it is at 3 speeds. Note, you can also hear the chorus singing marijuana in the background. But as time went on, other songs were found to contain these mysterious backward messages. Take, for example, Creedence Clearwater Revival and this song, Cotton Fields. As you listen to the clip forwards, note that there is no gibberish or intentionally inserted soundtrack. Here it is. And the speech reversal on this song says, "I believe in my cool woman." And just to show that the occurrence of the word woman on the previous song was not just a random event, here's another Creedence song, Up Around the Bend, that contains another reference backwards to a woman. Here it is, forwards. There's a piece of the pen and I'm holding just as fast as my feet in the past. Come away, it's stolen. See the fingers shoot me back. The backward message says, here woman, I'll keep on the path. Was there a special woman in the singer's life to whom he was pledging allegiance? Here is that backward message at 3 speeds. Here woman, I'll please you, I'm the And so, playing records backwards rapidly became a fad, and unintentional backward messages were found in many songs. The big question was, how were they getting there? The artists denied it, the studios denied it, no one had a clue. There is another unintentional backward message that, without knowing about the existence of reverse speech, also seems to defy explanation. It can be found in John Lennon's hate letter song to Paul McCartney, entitled How Do You Sleep?
No sleep was mine when they said you were dead. The one mistake you made was in your head.
Reversal says, hey, Paul Lindy, so mean, gets him nowhere. It reflects the mood of the song. Lindy would appear to be a reference to Paul's wife, Linda McCartney, and he, Paul, is so mean, it gets him nowhere. Here is that reversal at two speeds. It didn't take long before other artists got on the bandwagon and started using the recording technique backward masking to deliberately place backward messages on their records so fans could find them. Here is one such message. It is from Electric Light Orchestra and their song Fire on High. Listen carefully to the track played forwards. You'll hear gibberish in the background. This is the intentionally placed backward message. The backwards message says that music is reversible, but time is not. Turn back, turn back, turn back. Here it is, played once. Don't forget, though, that this is an example of backward masking and not reverse speech.
The music is reversible, but time.
Turn back! Turn back! Turn back!
The backward masking controversy reached a fever pitch in April 1982 when CBS Evening News ran a story stating that teenagers in Huntersville, North Carolina had organized a mass record-burning party through their Baptist church led by reform rock musician turned minister. The Rock and Roll records had backward messages from the devil in them, they claimed. Satan was possessing the minds of singers, causing them to say things backwards that would subliminally implant messages about Satan, sex, and drugs into the minds of the youth of America. Similar record-burning parties were held at other churches across the country, and preachers crisscrossed America and the rest of the world, preaching the evils of backward masking and other messages hidden backwards in rock and roll records. Here are some of the songs they quoted, and some we have found ourselves. First of all, Gonna Raise Hell by Cheap Trick. Here it is, forwards. The backwards message in this clip says, Satan holds the keys to the lock. What lock he is holding the keys to is a little unclear. Maybe it's the keys to the gates of hell. Here's that track played backwards at three speeds. Here now is Deep Purple and their song, Black Knight. And backwards it says, O demon that's leading from hell, we believe. I presume the demon is the Black Knight. Here's a sexual reference in reverse that we found on Captain and Tennille in their song, You Never Done It Like That. Here's a small clip forward. And backwards it says, Oh, I need some man to fuck back. Maybe the captain wasn't good enough for Tennille. Here is a reverse reference to drugs at the fundamentals frequently quoted in the song Another One Bites the Dust by Queen. And play backwards the phrase, it decide to smoke marijuana. Can be heard. Here it is. Here's a drug reference we found on the song Band on the Run by Paul McCartney. The speech reverse on this song says marijuana, marijuana, the law. Law will banish us. Several years after the song was released, Paul McCartney was banned from entering Japan after an ounce of marijuana was found in his luggage. He was subsequently banished. Was this reversal a warning from his collective unconscious of future events, or maybe just a reflection of the lifestyle of pop singers in that era? Of course, no study of backward messages in music would be complete without an analysis of Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. It has been quoted repeatedly by fundamentalists and played backwards on thousands of radio stations around the world since the early 80s. Here is a clip forwards. ¶¶
still got that.
You can stand freakily for me. Just now I'm too fast and can't go back.
But if I'm gone,
it's still time to change the
world.
There's two reversals in this clip, separated by gibberish. They're quite long, so you'll have to listen carefully. They say, "It's my sweet Satan, the one whose little path would make me sad, whose power is fake." Then there's a bit of gibberish, followed by, "There was a little tool shed where he made us suffer, sad Satan." And the Satan at the end, the A-N, is very, very faint. Here we go.
It's my
A complete analysis of this song, including the meaning of all the reversals, can be found on the Reverse Speech website or in my book, Voices from the Unconscious. In 1983, the cries of the fundamentalists reached the California State Assembly, who, in session, played a copy of Stairway to Heaven backwards. Also in 1983, Arkansas Governor Bill Clinton signed a bill requiring all rock and roll records that were suspected of containing backward messages to be labelled with the following warning. Warning: this record contains backward masking that makes a verbal statement which is audible when this record is played backwards, and which may be perceptible at a subliminal level when this record is played forwards. The bill did not proceed to become law. Nevertheless, a new culture was born, and backward masking became the topic of teenagers, parents, teachers, and even comedians, as the following clip shows.
Remember a few years ago, is if you played albums backwards, there were satanic messages. Now they're subliminal. Isn't it nice to know Satan's keeping up with all these new technological achievements? What a little busy fever he is. I picture him at Radio Shack every Monday morning. What new things do you have for me today? Remember that a few years ago? You play albums backwards, they're satanic messages. Let me tell you something. If you ever sat around playing your albums backwards, you are Satan. Don't look any further. And don't go ruining my stereo to prove a fucking point. Come here. Listen. Can you hear that? Satan is Lord. Satan is Lord.
Let's go clear. Check this out.
It's almost like he's in the room or something. Destroyer of needles. Ruiner of stereos. I am Satan, and I have come to destroy high fidelity music.
Don't have to play me backwards to get the meaning of my
verse. And in 1984, I started my research. I was running a halfway house for street kids, and an evangelist from the United States was traveling through Australia preaching that rock and roll was the devil's music. And if you played records backwards, you could hear strange satanic messages. I was somewhat bemused by the possibility and went home to rather skeptically play some tapes backwards to see what I could find. Much to my surprise, I found my very first reversal from the first tape I looked at, Stairway to Heaven. The reversal occurs right at the end of the song, and here is that clip played forwards. And when play backwards, this clip says, play backward, hear words sung. And it's a genuine speech reversal, not backward masking. I was stunned to find that reversal. I got out some other tapes and played them backwards. I found other backwards phrases. After a few days, though, it had become obvious to me that these phrases weren't all satanic messages, as the fundamentalists had claimed, but they covered many different topics. Take, for example, this clip from Jesus Christ Superstar.
Try not to get worried, try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's alright? Yes, everything's fine.
I'm going to think I shall sleep well tonight. Let the world tell me that you need tonight.
Reversal in this clip says, he's the savior, loves me, he's the one. Which is obviously not a satanic phrase. Here it is. Here's a clip from Santana. The reversals from this clip says, and I'll remind you to say yes. Here's a clip from Sting. Now this backward message says, he scared me hidden, hear me please. Once again, a rather innocuous message, certainly not satanic. Here are two examples from Elvis Presley. The first one comes from his song, Unchained Melody.
Oh, my God. My darling, I've hungered for a long, long time.
The backward message says, I love you, mother. Once again, hardly a satanic message, and given Elvis's well-documented feelings towards his mother, it's an unsurprising reversal. And here's an example from his song, It's Now or Never.
It's now or never, my love.
This reversal says, they know I'm sick, which is rather ominous considering Elvis Presley's demise. The next thing I did in my research was to go back in time. The fundamentalists had claimed in their sermons that backward messages were started by the Beatles, inspired by the teachings of Aleister Crowley. So I wondered, can we find backward messages prior to the Beatles? Here is the earliest clip I could find. It is an audio clip of President Cleveland on the campaign trail. The clip is from 1892.
I pray that the people of God speak to the prayer of every community as a nation to attend to our own business.
Reversal says, try a southern route. I'm not just sure what it means. Maybe he's thinking where he needs to go to next. Anyway, here it is at three speeds. Here is a clip of a commercial that the BBC put out in the early 1920s with a rather surprising reversal.
Put on your earphones. Tune on your set. Listen in the half past three. Bit well back. We're going to have a crack from Anti-Anti of the BBC.
Reversal says, this is not a noose. No, it's really not. Reversal puzzled me at first until I explored a bit of history around the era. Apparently many people were afraid of this new invention called radio and thought they could become possessed by demons in the air by listening to it. Reversal in the advert reassures people that all is okay. Radio won't harm you. It really won't. Seems to me that people often ascribe to the devil that which they don't understand. Radio, and now backward messages. Here's that reversal at three speeds. Here's a clip from Marilyn Monroe in her song I'm Gonna File My Claim, released in the late 1950s. The song is about her search for her perfect man.
He's worth a fancy fortune, but it's not in church. I'm gonna file my claim.
The verse in this clip says he'll come out full of magic. And ironically enough, Marilyn Monroe dated Anton LaVey not long after this song was released.
He'll come out full of magic.
Here's one final clip from pre-Beatles days in Roy Orbison's song, Crying. And the speech reversal says, get out, get out, get out, people.
Hey everybody, wherever you are, there's a new way of talking and it's gonna go far. You take the letters and the words, turn them all around, you say the last one first, and you check out the sound. Talk back.
And so it was that a new pursuit began for me. Finding backward messages and trying to work out what they meant. I researched my local library and bookstores trying to find information on the topic, but there was none. Except for a couple of books written by religious fundamentalists claiming that it was all the devil's work. I knew that wasn't the case because of other reversals I'd found. Then in 1987, I was joined by my good friend Greg Albrecht, and we decided to write a book on the topic. The book was called Beyond Backward Masking, and in this book, we proposed a brand new theory about language that we called reverse speech. I got the name reverse speech early one morning in April 87 when I awoke with the name and the whole theory of reverse speech instantly in my mind. I sat down at my computer and wrote out the theory. The theory is detailed in lesson one of this course and essentially states that language is bilevel, forwards as well as backwards. We issued press releases and received much media coverage. The coverage eventually reached the United States and in 1989 I was invited to come there on a lecture tour. The tour was a great success, and in November 89, I moved to the United States to live. Almost immediately, I was caught up in the Judas Priest trial in Reno, Nevada. Judas Priest had been sued by parents of two teenagers who shot themselves while listening to their album, Stay in Class. They claim the album contained hidden backward messages that promoted suicide. Here is one of those clips. Backwards, this clip says, "I took my life," which is indeed a reversal about suicide. How did it get there? Well, the album Forwards is about a man who commits suicide. The backward message merely confirms the message of the song. Here is that reversal at two different speeds. Judge Jerry Whitehead, who presided over the case, gave a significant ruling. He ruled that the backward messages did indeed exist, thus opening the way for future lawsuits. He also ruled, though, that no evidence had been presented to show that the messages were subliminally suggestive, so he dismissed the suit. However, reverse speech did get some good publicity for the case, and I appeared on CNN's The Larry King Show in 1990 to present the theory of reverse speech. More publicity would soon be on its way as Operation Desert Shield began in the Gulf. I was analysing speeches of George H.W. Bush and other players in the growing conflict in the Gulf, and I started to find a new word in reverse that I had not heard before. The word was Simone. There is one such instance from George H.W. Bush.
"But we must recognize that Iraq may not stop using force to advance its ambitions. Iraq has massed an enormous war machine on the Saudi border."
The speech reversal says, "Simone, Simone in the sands."
"Simone, Simone in the sands. Simone, Simone in the sands. Simone, Simone in the sands."
I had no idea what the reversal meant. And so I contacted one of my growing contacts in Washington, D.C., a man named Scott C.B. Jones. He was employed by Congress to seek out new technologies and bring them to mainstream. He was in the process of arranging a series of lectures for me in Washington, D.C., when I contacted him about this reversal. He immediately wrote a confidential memo to then-Defense Secretary Dick Cheney, telling him about reverse speech and Simone. Somehow this memo was leaked to the press, and almost overnight, reverse speech was featured on news broadcasts and reported in newspapers around the country, with headlines such as, "Is the President hiding secret code word backwards in his speech?" I was doing a radio interview about this reversal shortly after the story broke, when a caller called in and told me that Simone was an Arabic word for a dust storm in the desert. Imagine my surprise when Operation Desert Storm started a few weeks later. Had I accidentally stumbled across a code word that they were using? Over the next few years, the popularity of reverse speech in the United States grew considerably, and by the late 90s, I had a large therapeutic practice, training classes going, and was a well-known guest on many radio and TV shows. Things started to go sour, though, as I became more and more outspoken about public events and politics. So much so that Bill Clinton was once asked a question about reverse speech in a press conference. He laughed it off, but a few weeks later, I found the following reversal on Clinton in this clip.
"Once again, our economy is the strongest on earth. Once again, we are building stronger families, thriving communities, better educational opportunities."
The speech reversal says, "Seal for mouth from oats." I was shocked when I found it. I didn't know I was making that much of an impact.
"Seal for mouth from oats.
Then barely a week after playing that reversal on several radio shows, the reverse speech home and offices were hit by a devastating arson attack. There was a clip of my secretary running into my office telling me the house is on fire.
"Yes? What?
Something very
And the reversal on this clip says almost exactly the same thing backwards as it does forwards. The house is on fire. Our house is on fire. Why does it say the same thing? Well, she wasn't lying, and her whole being, conscious as well as unconscious, was congruent in getting the message across to me. Here is that reversal. And here is that whole clip played forwards and immediately reversed. Over the next 2 years, very strange things began to happen around reverse speech. Our new offices were broken into several times. Our computers were tampered with and hacked. I started to receive dozens of death threats and thousands of hate emails. We were followed and our phones were tapped. The final straw was a multi-million dollar defamation lawsuit that I was served with. I settled the lawsuit out of court with a retraction and apology, but I'd had enough. I left the United States in 1999 and returned home to Australia to live. Since that time, I have been relatively quiet with little media coverage. I still run a successful therapy practice and train students in reverse speech. I also post political reversals on my website, but I have received no harassment since returning home. I've written a new book, which was released in 2008, and I still continue my research into reverse speech. It is now 2009, and this is where things now stand. It hardly seems possible that I've been doing reverse speech for 25 years now. I shall continue to research reverse speech for the rest of my life. Welcome to my world. All right, there we go. That was a section of the home study course. Lesson three. I'm going into the history of reverse speech and reverse speech in music. So, you got a good insight into some of the beginnings of reverse speech. And now, well, reverse speech is in a whole new arena. We're on the international stage. Those of you who have been following the show, you know I've just got back from England. Spent some time in England doing lectures and workshops and spreading the word over there, and that went very, very well. I was in America 2 years ago doing lectures and workshops in America, so that was exciting. Probably nowhere near as well known as it was in the late 90s in America. Certainly that was reverse speech's heyday. There is no doubt. However, it has developed very significantly since then into a very accurate healing modality, and that's where I see its main application. Well, certainly that's where I focus most of my energy and my attention is using reverse speech as a healing modality, and I think its applications are absolutely awesome. I've talked earlier on this radio show about a cancer patient lady I am still working with, and we've got some amazing results with her, which is just really, really exciting stuff. I had another couple of, I shouldn't really talk yet, I don't have their permission, anyway, it doesn't matter. And I still keep getting new clients in all the time for a variety of issues, and it's sad really that the real power of reverse speech and is not known, because it's difficult to report on the therapeutic side of it without betraying client confidences, because you're playing the voice. It's pretty easy if you know the person to recognise the voice. So I tend not to talk much about the therapeutic side of the work, which is most of my work. I mean, I'm currently working with about 15 clients. So yeah, that's a fairly heavy load when you think you've got tapes to do. Like for every 30 minutes recording I make with a client, I spend another 30 minutes analysing another 3 hours analysing the tape. So I'll tell you about know, between 2.5 and 3 hours to analyze a 30-minute tape. So it takes a fair while. And then when you write out the trance, it probably takes about a half an hour to write out the meta walk, roughly. Maybe a little bit less than that. So there's work involved. Maintaining 15 clients is a pretty heavy load. I wouldn't want to carry too much more than that. That's about up there at its peak. Anyway, don't let me put you off of if you're thinking about doing such work. Of course, you can. I can always find room for someone new. We have 5 minutes of showtime left. If you want to call in, the number is 201-793-9022. That's 201-793-9022. Conference number is 957-9082#. That's 957-9082#. And that will let you in. I'll see you come up on the switchboard. And you can come and join me for the last 5 minutes of the show and ask me your questions. Hey, I'm thinking of starting a little segment on the show. I know how to do it now. I didn't know how to do this before, but where I'll get people to call in on one radio show, and we'll record you for 5 minutes, and then I will go and analyze the tape and report the results in the next week's show. Is that something that anyone would be interested in? Because if that's the case, we can... We could actually follow a case study through. So obviously, if you want to take part in this, you'd have to be willing to have your reversals played publicly, and for us to publicly follow through on an issue. So I'm happy to throw this open to my radio show audience. If anyone is interested in this, we'll start that next week. Okay. So next week I will take my first caller on that area code 201-793-9022, and that's conference number 957-9082#. Next week I will have a guest scheduled. I know who I want to have scheduled, but I don't have. Don't have that concern yet, so I won't announce his name. But just tune in. It will be a reverse speech analyst or